Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening over other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing everyone. And this sunny, it was raining this morning, but now the sun came out. It's really beautiful over here. This is our lesson 360 on this Sabbath, July 16, 2022. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. Our tiny thought hymn to our theme entitled More About Jesus, and our dear brother Ray will be the one to share it.
More about Jesus I would know, more of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches in glory all his own. More of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. If any one of the little ones, helped by their parents or elder sibling, would like to open their review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Hello. Happy Sabbath.
Sabbath blessings, Sister Shaka.
Yeah. Sabbath blessings. Sabbath.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Thank you, God, for this morning. Leave us the Sabbath day. Leave us the words that we're about to learn. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Mama.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, little ones, we would like to be able to thank God for the blessings that you have became for your mommy and your daddy, or even any of the members of your family. So you would like to share as mommy or daddy little helpers. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For mommies and daddy's little helper, little blessing, we'd like to highlight little Emma. Just giving God thanks for her as she's growing, that she's always so willing to be a helping hand. A little busy body, but we're praying by God's grace to channel that energy for his use, for his purposes. So just highlighting her for her willingness. To want to be able to help in every single thing that she sees that's happening around her.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll be keeping her in prayer, dear sister. Well, we are going to review our study from the story of Jesus in our chapter 7, entitled Baptism, and our dear brother Gray will be the one to review.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 14 to 17, King James Version. Oh, I guess I'm missing the top part here. In Mark 1:15, it says, speaking of John the Baptist, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. Then in Matthew 3:14 to 17, but John forbade him, Jesus, when he asked for baptism, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, let it be. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now let's see here. All right. And John said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark 1:15. When the time for Christ's public ministry had come, his first act was to go to the river Jordan and be baptized by John the Baptist. John had been sent to prepare the way for the Savior. He had preached in the wilderness, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel, Mark 1:15. Multitudes flocked to hear him, and they all went down there to see what's going on. Many were convicted of their sins and were baptized by him in the Jordan. God had made known to John that someday the Messiah would come to him and ask to be baptized. He had also promised him a promise that a sign should be given him so that he might know who it was. When Jesus came, John saw in his face such signs of his holy life that he forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it, or allow it, to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Matthew 3:14 and 15. And as he said this, there was seen upon his face the same heavenly light that Simeon had beheld. Simeon was the prophet that appeared in the temple when Jesus was presented as a baby. So John led the Savior down into the water of the beautiful Jordan, and there he baptized him in the sight of all the people. Jesus was not baptized to show repentance for his own sins, for he had never sinned. He did it to set an example for us. When he came up out of the water, he kneeled on the riverbank and prayed. He considered a baptism a very solemn event. Then the heavens were opened. Beams of glory streamed forth. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, Matthew 3:16. His face and form were all aglow with the light and glory of God. And from heaven, the voice of God was heard saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 3:16 and 17. The glory that rested upon Christ was a pledge of the love of God for us. The Savior came as our example, and just as surely as God heard his prayer, he will hear ours. the most needy, the most sinful, the most despised may find access to the Father. When we come to him in Jesus' name, the voice which spoke to Jesus speaks to us saying, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." And this came from the Story of Jesus by Ellen White, page 42. Let's see, I think.
So next Sabbath, we're going to start a new chapter that will end the baptism story. We're going to start with chapter 8 of our lesson entitled The Temptation, and that will take place July the 23rd, 2022. And now we're going to have the review from our lesson from baptism in the book of the Desire Ages, and our dear brother Greg will be the one to review it for us.
All right. Tidings of the wilderness prophet and his wonderful announcement spread throughout Galilee. The message reached the peasants in the remotest hill towns and the fisher folk by the sea. And in these simple, earnest hearts found its truest response. In Nazareth, it was told in the carpenter shop that had been Joseph's. See, by that time, Joseph had passed away, and it was Jesus' carpenter shop. And one, Jesus, recognized the call. His time had come. Turning from his daily toil, he bade farewell to his mother and followed in the steps of his countrymen who were flocking to the Jordan. Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins and closely related by the circumstances of their birth, yet they had no direct acquaintance with each other. Can you imagine having a cousin and never meet him? That was God's plan. The life of Jesus had been spent in Nazareth, in Galilee, and that of John in the wilderness of Judea. Amid widely different surroundings, they had lived in seclusion and had had no communication with each other. Providence had ordered this. God saw to it that John and Jesus never met as children so that nobody could ever say, they planned this whole thing. No occasion was to be given for the charge that they had conspired together to support each other's claims. John was acquainted with the events that had marked the birth of Jesus. He had heard of the visit to Jerusalem in his boyhood and of what had passed in the school of the rabbis. He knew of his own sinless life. He knew of his sinless life and believed him to be the Messiah. But of this he had no positive assurance. The fact that Jesus had for so many years remained in obscurity or unknown, giving no special evidence of his mission, he gave occasion for doubt as to whether he could be the promised one. The Baptist, however, waited in faith, believing that in God's own time all would be made plain. It had been revealed to him that the Messiah would seek baptism at his hand, and that a sign of his divine character should be given. Thus, he would be enabled to present him to the people. Is there another slide? Yes. When Jesus came to be baptized, John recognized in him a purity of character that he had never before perceived in any man. The very atmosphere of his presence was holy and awe-inspiring. Among the multitudes that had gathered about him at the Jordan, John had heard dark tales of crime and had met souls bowed down with the burden of a myriad of sins. Myriad means lots of. But never had he come in contact with a human being from whom there breathed an influence so divine. All this was in harmony with what had been revealed to John regarding the Messiah. Yet he shrank from granting the request of Jesus. How could he, a sinner, baptize the sinless one? And why should he who needed no repentance submit to a rite that was a confession of guilt to be washed away? As Jesus asked for baptism, John drew back, exclaiming, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? With firm yet gentle authority, Jesus answered, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And John, yielding, led the Savior down into the Jordan and buried him beneath the water. The world says that he sprinkled him, but he was baptized by immersion. And straightway coming up out of the water, Jesus saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Jesus did not receive baptism as a confession of guilt on his own account. He identifies himself with sinners, taking the steps that we are to take in doing the work that we must do. His life of suffering and patient endurance after his baptism was also an example for us. This is taken from Desire of Ages, page 110 and 111. Thank you. Oh, I guess I have some questions for you here. What was John doing?
John was baptizing people.
Yeah, John was down in the, by the Jordan baptizing people. It'd be hard to baptize a mountain when there was no water. So John went down there to preach. The Lord sent him. And he told everybody, it's time to repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And that kingdom was Christ's presence for 3.5 years. Who heard about John's preaching? Everybody.
Christ.
But there was one special person, Jesus, who was running a carpenter shop up in Nazareth. He heard about it, and he knew that it was time for his ministry to begin. So what did he do? Jesus went down to Jordan, where other folks were confessing their sins and being baptized. He, having no sins to confess, just asked John to baptize him. What does purity mean?
To be clean.
Something the world is so, to be clean, yes. This is something the world is so destitute of or has so little of that it's surprising we know what the word means. Purity, yes. Jesus was pure from sin. He had not sinned. He never spoke words that he had to say, oops, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. He was pure in heart and in life. All right. I'll turn it back to Rose and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. So it's time for Tiny Thoughts and Parents and Guests to learn precious lesson in nature and the gems that lies beneath in God's creation. So let's have our listening ears, little ones. And our dear brother Josh will continue to review our part 40 of The Water of Life.
So blessings, everyone. Here's today's study of the water. We can start with the water cycle. You probably already have seen this in a classroom. But here's a spiritual insight explained also about the water cycle. First there's the ocean, then the water molecules evaporate, which is called evaporation. The ocean contributes about 80% of total water vapor in air. Then it becomes condensing water vapor, or turning into clouds. As soon as the clouds hover in the sky over the land and ocean, eventually they become precipitation. Then, like rain or when very cold, either sleet, snow, or even hail. And the waters will fill up to form lakes or any other small bodies of water like ponds or cisterns. Through the surface runoff, and they also get soaked into the ground, becoming groundwater. They pass through the impervious layer and flow underground through that layer. They flow underground right back into the ocean, and also the plants and so that way they can be able to drink through their roots. And over here it says, water vapor is seen in many ways as fog, clouds, mist, and steam. Jesus was seen in many ways as well. Research. Jesus leaves home. The word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. He came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Luke 3:2-3. John called for the people to repent. The following verses will help you understand what repentance is. It is not enough to say, we're sorry and repent, yet still go on from day to day, just as we always went. Repentance is to leave the sins we loved before, and show that we in earnest be, by doing so no more. No. Tidings of the wilderness prophet and his wonderful announcement spread throughout Galilee. The message reached the peasants in the remotest hill towns and the fisher folk by the sea, and these simple, earnest hearts found its truest response. In Nazareth, it was told in the carpenter shop that had been Joseph's, and one recognized the call. His time had come. Turning from his daily toil, he bade farewell to his mother and followed in the steps of his countrymen who were flocking to the Jordan. The Desire of Ages, page 109. John the Baptist had lived a pure life. He had carefully guarded the avenues of his soul in his wilderness home. Because of this, God was able to use him as his special messenger. Jesus had lived a pure life in the home, and now he would go out to teach and help the people to do likewise. The senses are direct avenues to the soul. They are capable of awakening intense emotions, religious enthusiasm, every sublime or tender sentiment. The traveler, as he gazes from the mountaintop on the wide extent of forest and hills stretched as deep with the blue expanse above and the light cloud sweeping silently over with no sign of human life, no sound to break the solitude, stands awestruck with the overpowering immensity and spirit of majesty. Majestic beauty that rests upon that scene. The eye speaks to the soul of eternity, of the grand spirit of the universe, or the power that thrills the heart. Neither is a passing emotion of little moment in our life that we receive from the senses, but they are perpetual bodyguards surrounding us unceasingly. And these constantly repeated impressions become powerful agents in our life. They refine or beautify our souls. They ennoble or degrade them according to the beautiful or mean objects which surround us. A dirty or slovenly dress will exert an evil moral influence upon the child. It will aid in destroying its self-respect. It will incline it to habits which correspond with such a garment. The beautiful scenes through which a child wanders, playing by the seashore or on the mountainside, will always be remembered. The treasures of shell and seaweed brought from wonderful ocean caverns, the soft green moss, and the flowers that have sprung up under their footsteps will leave a trace of beauty, a mystery, and strange happiness, wherever its later life may be cast. The senses mingle powerfully in all the influences of childhood. It is not merely the loving care of parents, the purity and truthfulness of the family relations that make home so precious a recollection. There are visions of winter evenings with the curtains drawn, the fire blazing, and gay voices or wonderful picture books. There are summer rambles in the cool evening when the delicious night breeze fans the cheek and we gaze into the heavens to search out the bright stars. It is the most important in educating children to guard the senses from evil influences, to furnish them with pure, beautiful objects. Each separate sense should preserve its acuteness of faculty. The eye should not be injured by resting upon a vulgar confusion of colors, on clumsy, ill-proportioned forms. The ears should not be falsified by discordant sounds and harsh, unloving voices. The nose should not be a receptacle for impure odors. Each sense should be preserved in its purity, and the objects applied to them should be filled with moral suggestion and true sentiment. The house, the dress, the food may preach to the child through its senses and aid its growth in quite another way from the protection afforded, or the good blood which feeds its organs. And by E. Blackwell. To him, John, the solitude of the desert was a welcome escape from society in which suspicion, unbelief, and impurity had become well nigh all-pervading. He distrusted his own power to withstand temptation and shrink from constant contact with him and with sin, lest he should lose the sense of its exceeding sinfulness. So far as possible, he closed every avenue by which Satan could enter. The Desire of Ages, page 101 to 102. Sure. And remember this word, solitude. John sought the solitude of the desert. It was a welcome escape from society in which suspicion, unbelief, and impurity had become well nigh all pervading. So being alone in the desert helped John build a spiritual and righteous character. Here's some remarkable parent food. There was a great work appointed for the prophet John, but there was no school on the earth with which he could connect. His learning must be obtained away from the cities in the wilderness. The Old Testament scriptures, God and the nature which God had created, were to be his study books. God was fitting John for his work, preparing the way of the Lord. His food was simply locusts and wild honey. The customs and practices of men were not to be the education of this man. Worldly engrossed was to act no part in the formation of his character. Fifth Bible Commentary, page 1115. I'll turn it back to Mama.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I remember, little ones. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. Welcome to all the brethren that came in. Our opening song is our hymn entitled Near to the Heart of God, of our theme of the review, also found 495 in the hymn book. If you would like to join in the singing, you can unmute your mic to do so, dear ones. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, bless, redeem. sent from the heart of God. Hold us away before thee, near to the heart of God.
There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we, our Savior, meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, send from the heart of God. Hold us to wait before thee, near to the heart of God.
There is a place of full release near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open our family review section of our story, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Happy blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for this morning. Please protect us. Please protect this Sabbath day. And please protect everybody, and please protect everybody who's here. Please protect everybody that's not here, man. Please protect them on the head to their feet if they're not feeling good. And please protect everybody else that's here. And we hope they do not get out of this Sabbath so they be sick too. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear Sister Ellie. Our opening scripture to our review is taken from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. It's also a memory verse.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Amen. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? We are going to take a moment to be able to reread last Sabbath, part 1 of our lesson, Gethsemane, part 4, in our study book, Desire of Ages. If anyone of the dear remnant family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
The Desire of Ages, page 689. I'm Jeremiah. A short time.
Before.
Jesus
had stood
like
a mighty
cedar
withstanding
withstanding
the storm
of
opposition
that
spent
its
fury
upon him
stubborn wills
and hearts
filled with
malice
and hi Krishi.
Hi.
Subtly or I can't even say the word. Subtlety. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
Subtlety.
Oh, subtle. Okay. Well, I should have known that.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Hey, that's you.
Okay.
Had.
Striven in
vain
to
confuse
and
overpower him.
Okay, you can go, Jay. He stood forth in divine majesty as the Son of God. Now he was like a reed beaten and bent by the angry storm. He had approached the consummation of his work, a conqueror, having at each step gained the victory over the powers of darkness. Next slide, please. I apologize. Jeremiah has been praying for his dad for about a month or so, and his dad came to pick him up today, so I apologize.
We are still in page 689. If anyone would like to be able to finish the paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so.
The Desire of Ages, page 689. And continuing, as one already glorified, he had claimed oneness with God. In unfaltering accents, he had poured out his songs of praise. He had spoken to his disciples in words of courage and tenderness. Now had come the hour of the power of darkness. Now his voice was heard on the still evening ear, not in tones of triumph, but full of human anguish. The words of the Savior were borne to the ears of the drowsy disciples. O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Desire of Ages, page 689, paragraph 4. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 690. The first impulse of the disciples was to go to him, but he had bidden them tarry there, watching unto prayer. When Jesus came to them, he found them still sleeping. Again, he had felt a longing for companionship, for some words from his disciples which would bring relief and break the spell of darkness that well nigh overpowered him. Next slide, please.
Continuing. But their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. His presence aroused them. They saw his face marked with the bloody sweat of agony, and they were filled with fear. His anguish of mind they could not understand. His visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Isaiah 52:14. Desire of Ages, page 690, paragraph 1.
Continuing the reading. Turning away, Jesus sought again to retreat and fell prostrate, overcome by the horror of a great darkness. The humanity of the Son of God trembled in that trying hour. He prayed not now for his disciples that their faith might not fail, but for his own tempted, agonized soul. The awful moment had come, that moment which was to decide the destiny of the world. And continuing on the next slide, please. And continuing, the faith of humanity trembled in the balance. Christ might not even now refuse to drink the cup apportioned to guilty men. It was not yet too late. He might wipe the bloody sweat from his brow and leave men to perish in his iniquity. He might say, let the transgressor receive the penalty of his sin, and I will go back to my Father. And continuing on the next slide, I will bubble down so that others could participate as well.
Mommy.
Continuing. Will the Son of God drink the bitter cup of humiliation and agony? Will the innocent suffer the consequences of the course of sin to save the guilty? The words fell tremblingly from the pale lips of Jesus. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Desire of Ages, page 690, paragraph 2.
Sabbath blessing, everyone. Continuing the reading. 3 times has he uttered that prayer. 3 times has humanity shrunk from the last groaning sacrifice. But now the history of mind of human race come up before the world redeemers. He sees that the transgressors of the law, if left to themselves, must perish. He sees the helplessness of man. He sees the power of sin, the woes and lamentations of a doomed world rise before him. Desire of Ages, 690, paragraph 2. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 690. He beholds its impending fate, and his decision is made. He will save man at any cost to himself. He accepts his baptism of blood, that through him perishing millions may gain everlasting life. He has left the courts of heaven, where all is purity, happiness, and glory. Next slide, please. Continuing, to save the one lost sheep, the one world that has fallen by transgression. He will not turn from his mission. He will become the propitiation of a race that has willed to sin. His prayer now breathes only submission. If this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Desire of Ages, page 690, paragraph 3. And the slide on the top says, on the left, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And through this picture of the Milky Way, this arrow points that Earth, where we are, is over here.
Amen. So let us consider the verse of our review, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version. So let us consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James. Was sanctified, O Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man. That as you all reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that said, what have we learned in ways we have grown? Now we are going to share the 6 questions that we held from last Sabbath. And for those that may not have the access to see the the slide, I will read it off, that maybe you can be able to share your answer. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And our last one, what did you learn from this lesson? If you have access to be able to type your answers in the room, or you can use your mic to be able to share. Who would like to take number one?
Judas and his disciples. Judas and his disciples. Passion is about to live and give life to us.
For us.
For us.
Haley and Emma said that the main idea for this section was Christ was about to give his life for us. And here we saw what he had went through in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was praying and agonizing over the task that was ahead and for the lack of support that that was received from his disciples. We saw that their spirit was ready, but their flesh was weak. And, so just adding to what the girls had mentioned.
The Garden of the Gethsemane.
Number four, I think that's where we are. I think it's when the burden of sin and the burden of sin begins to, be, I guess, Christ begins to feel the burden of sin, is the proper way to say it. And he's also beginning to confront the powers of darkness. This is when the story begins in that regards.
For number five, how could you relate to the story? I could relate in particular to the disappointment of putting my trust in fellow men as opposed to looking up to God and trusting in Him solely. That sometimes when we're going through our trials, we look to our friends and sometimes even our family for them to be able to help us. But we know that all things are possible through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and praise God that the work was not yet done by our Savior, that He did not give up, that He continued to forge the path ahead, drawing strength from the one who all strength comes from. That's how I could relate.
I would like to add to that in that when the Lord asked the disciples to watch and pray, that was the hour of temptation. And also in this time, we are in an hour of temptation. And He bids us through His word that we should watch, work, and pray. And that's how I relate.
Amen. I would like to share a thought. By the example that the Lord had given us in Gethsemane, we will have Gethsemane ourselves, not in the magnitude of our Savior, but in some circumstances, the Lord would like us to be able to tread that experience by ourselves. So like that, we can be able to really know the character of the sin and also the character that will help us to be able to overcome it. So the Gethsemane experience is really left as a blessing for each and every one of us and how our Savior had dealt with it, and not always feel down when The Lord does not allow instrumentality to come around in the area that he wants us to tread alone. And we are so grateful that the Lord had left those examples. So we don't feel so discouraged that some things we may have to do by ourselves, because it's the Lord wants to be that way so we can be able to see his mighty power and how to glorify his name in very trying situation. I just would like to share that. And then we are in number six. Who would like to be able to share number six?
I learned that we should be dependable and watchful of others. Since the disciples fell asleep when they were supposed to be watching and even praying with Christ, is they weren't being all dependable, but they were extremely tired. But by being dependable and watchful, they're showing how faithful they were. They would have been to him. And they show they care for him and were ready to stand by his side no matter what.
I would also like to share a thought. By the weariness that the disciple had sleeping when they were supposed to be watching, they lost a blessing, because if they would have been up looking, they would have been able to be strengthened for those things that was going to come ahead. By not being watchful when the trying time came and the Savior was being, when the soldiers of the temple and Judas and all of them came, they were very helpless. They would have been strengthened by watching them pray and seeing an example of what they needed to do. So it's the same thing like us. Today, if we don't watch and pray, as things are unfolding, not only in our lives, but in the world, we're not going to be able to have the strength to confront it. So I remember that Sister White shared with us that in this time is especially how we need to be able to study Gethsemane and Calvary. Is very important because those have very important lesson for us, especially in very trying times. And I just wanted to share that. If anybody else would like to share their answer for number six before we continue, may you unmute your mic, dear ones. Welcome to all the dear brethren that are just coming in. We will have a thought to be shared, and this one is taken from That I May Know Him, chapter 124, entitled Perfection Through Christ's Merit. If any one of the dear brethren would like to be able to share one of the paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Christ presents before us the highest perfection of Christian character, which throughout our lifetime we should aim to reach. Concerning this perfection, Paul writes, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3:12-15. How can we reach the perfection specified by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our great teacher? Can we meet his requirement and attain to so lofty a standard? We can. Else Christ would not have enjoined us to do so. He is our righteousness. In his humanity, he has gone before us and wrought out for us perfection of character. We are to have the faith in him that works by love and purifies the soul. Perfection of character is based upon that which Christ is to us. If we have constant dependence on the merits of our Savior and walk in his footsteps, we shall be like him, pure and undefiled.
Our Savior does not require impossibilities of any soul. He expects nothing of his disciples that he is not willing to give them grace and strength to perform. He would not call upon them to be perfect if he had not at his command every perfection of grace to bestow on the ones upon whom he would confer so high and holy privilege. He has assured us that he is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him than parents are to give good gifts to their children. And we know from page 130, paragraph 4. Our work is to strive to attain in our sphere of action the perfection of that Christ in his life on the earth attained in every phase of character. He is our example. In all things, we are to strive to honor God in character. In falling day by day, if so far short of the divine requirements, we are endangering our soul's salvation. We need to understand and appreciate the privilege with which Christ invests us, and to show our determination to reach the highest standard. We are to be wholly dependent on the power that he has promised to give us. That I may know him, pages 130, paragraph 2 to 130, paragraph 5.
Amen. We have a poem as well to share. It's entitled, Innocent Play. This is taken from Children Bible Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 3, Lesson 6, in page 160. From the Sunlight Education Ministry of Homeschooling from the Bible. If any one of the dear brethren would like to take one of the paragraphs, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. Abroad in the meadow, to the young lambs, one sporting about by the side of the dams, with fleeces so clean and white, of a mess of young doves in a large open cage, when they play all in love, without anger or rage, how much may we learn from this, from the sight?
If we had been ducks, we might dabble in mud, or dogs, we might play till it ended in blood. So foul, so fierce are dear natures. But Thomas and William, and such pretty names, should be clearly and harmlessly as doves or as lambs, those lovely, sweet, innocent creatures.
Mm-hmm. Not a thing that we do, nor a word that we say, should injure another in jesting or play, for he's still in earnest. That's hurt. How rude are the boys that throw pebbles in mire. There's none but a madman will fling about fire and tell you 'tis all about in sport.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear ones. We could be able to hold a testimony until the services are ended. So next week, We will continue with part 5 of our lesson entitled Gethsemane in our study book, Desire Ages. If anyone of the Dear Remnant family would like to close our review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most unholy name. Father, we thank you again once more for gathering us here on your Sabbath day and providing the richest blessings, Father. We thank you for all the little children, for their participation. We thank you for their parents. Father, continue to be with us for the rest of the day. Uplift us into higher ground, I pray. Be with the speaker and the second half of our study. Bless and keep him. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have provided for us this day. Continue to enrich us in no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So next Sabbath, that will be held July the 23rd, 2022, we will follow with part 5 of our chapter 74 entitled Gethsemane. That will be our lesson 361. May you all have a blessed Sabbath, and may you continue to be blessed in Jesus' name.
May you all so, my dear Rose.